Let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm 110. 110, and we sing the whole of the Psalm. 110, verses 1 to 7. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we once again draw near to worship, enable us to value this time, to recognize its significance, its privileges, the dignity of being allowed to gather and to come before the Lord. As we read the scriptures, we are reminded that God's people did value the means of grace. We find in the Old Testament that in these holy convocations that there was great rejoicing. We find in the New Testament also that the gatherings of God's people are often accompanied with a sense of wonder and joy, as well as convictions, and of course the narrative of sometimes surprising conversions. And so we give thanks, O God, that once again the scripture is before us, that we have it in its entirety, in its finality, in its clarity. May we ever remember to sit under its teaching and allow its gracious message to flow over us and through us, dominating us, saturating us with the Word of God. We are meant to learn it. We are meant to imbibe it. We are meant to be as good soil receiving its seed into our depths and being productive in fruit-bearing for God's glory. The word of the Lord does produce fruit. And the psalmist reminds us that even into old age, those that are planted in God's planting, they produce fruit. When others fade in old age, God's plantings are still, as it were, like green trees, lively and beautiful to behold, producing good fruit, planted by the waters of the Lord. And we read that even although the outer man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, and therefore we do not faint, we do not fear, we do not fall away completely. And even if there are times when we go through dark passages in life and cloudy days and days of uncertainty, days of confusion concerning which way to go, what to do next, yet we never, if we are planted by the Lord, we never fall back into the ultimate darkness or despair of our former condition in Adam, but having been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, we have forever and definitively been translated from darkness into God's marvelous light. And so we have cause for gratitude, O Lord, that even in our worst moments, we do not become unbelievers. We still cling to Christ and believe in him, even when we sin, and sometimes sin against conscience, against light, and against the clearest possible teaching of the word, and the most frequent possible opportunities to learn and to pay heed. So we give thanks, O God, that despite our sins and shortcomings, we are allowed to gather here once again on this Holy Lord's Day. May we rejoice in the Lord, remembering that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice in it. We give thanks, O God, that as we gather under the word now, we are not the only ones who do so, and that throughout the world there are multitudes today, millions of Christian believers calling upon the name of the Lord in various stages of closure or liberties to gather together. We know that there are many congregations who do gather together, and through a series of circumstances beyond our control, we are closed down for the time being, and yet we gather with them and they with us around the word, the spiritual community of God's people, the fellowship of the saints, which is not bound or limited to buildings or places or even times. And the saints in glory and the saints on earth in grace, all together, one community, one family, one church, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Christianity, one experience of salvation, one heaven awaiting all, and already entered into by so many, the spirits of just men made perfect. And the scripture reminds us that we have come to them and we join with them. And this day, this holy day, we join with them publicly and by recorded messages. We join with them in the worship of the Lord. So we give thanks, O God, for these opportunities, and we pray that we would value them, that we would not despise the assembling of ourselves together, whether it be only over the recorded airwaves, but nonetheless a gathering together with one mind, seeking to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, O God, for the health and the strength that enables us to assemble in this way even now. And we pray that those who gather with us would be blessed by the word. Those who perhaps will listen to this recorded service later on, perhaps for all we know in years to come, that they would be blessed by it. The word of the Lord goes forth, accomplishing God's purpose. It will never return to him void. The scripture assures us of that. And so in confidence we proclaim, even at times with a measure of discouragement, a measure of opposition from the world and from the church also. But we continue to preach on and to worship on, because we know that this is God's calling and this is God's blessing upon us as we hear and as we obey. So we confess our sins and we seek mercy as always. We confess our weakness and always we seek more and more grace. We pray for our loved ones, once again our children, our children's children, our brothers and sisters, all the ones that we hold dear in the family circle, in blood relationships, in marriage relationships, and in other close friendship relationships. We pray for these men and women, boys and girls. We pray for all the believers in Christ, our brothers and sisters in a peculiar sense, an eternal and a divine sense. They belong to us and we to them in the bundle of life which is in Christ Jesus, and we remember them now. We remember our enemies always. We pray for them as we are commanded to do. We pray for our rulers over us, as again we are commanded to do. And we pray not just in general terms, but in specific terms, the Prime Minister of Australia and all the premiers and all the other local authorities and the mayors and all the councillors throughout the land who make decisions at local level, state level, federal level. We commend them all to God's guidance and God's grace. We remember Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth II and her royal family, and we pray for them as we come to pray, as we come to praise, as we come to worship, as we come to read the scriptures together, as we come to listen, as we come to learn the ways of the Lord more and more clearly and more lovingly, that we would walk in those ways and know the blessing of God and know that we give pleasure to God as we commit ourselves to him, and that we would take pleasure in worshipping and living in righteousness, that we would take no pleasure in the temporary pleasures of sin, but rather the pleasant ways of the Lord, wisdom and grace, mercy, following in our footsteps and walking in that way which is not only wise but good and sweet, and the way that leads to everlasting joy. This is our prayer, O God, as we gather now around the word, and all we pray is in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read together in the first chapter in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and reading through the whole of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is one of the great statements of the gospel. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, which are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and those the base things of the world, and those things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. We remind you of the notices, our Wednesday meeting at 7 o'clock. We anticipate will be a recorded service, and we invite you to attend on that service. And next Lord's Day, of course, the morning service, 10:30 a.m. Afternoon, 4:30 p.m. And again, we anticipate closure, and therefore a recording to be made on those occasions of worship. We welcome those who are worshiping with us at this time, and we're glad to have you. And we remind you also of the offering for the Lord's work. Well, these are the intimations. We'll leave it there, and we shall now continue to sing in Psalm number 111 and verses 1 to 4. Psalm 111, verses 1 to 4.